read his update. Including Chief Ficone.
All right, I've got that recording.
Okay, I think we're ready then. So welcome everyone. Let me make sure I'm unmuted, yes. It is Thursday, August 27th at 1:30 p.m. This is a meeting of the Kensington Fire Protection District Finance Committee held by Zoom. And I'm calling the meeting to order. Julie Stein, I am here. Director Domer.
Here.
And our interim general manager, Mary Mayorgas. Mary Morris Mayorgas. Mayorga is here. Sorry, a little tongue twister
all right.
today.
Chief is here.
And Chief Ficone is here. And we have two members of the public in attendance. So, we do start off with public comment, and I will take public comment on each item, but I'd like to defer to the members of the public at the moment to see if you have any public comment that you'd like to make at this time. Please raise your hand. Okay, I see no hands raised. I just want to make a comment about the order of the agenda and then get feedback from everybody. Since Chief Ficone is with us now, if it would be okay with everyone else, I think it would be a courtesy to take his item first. And then, of course, you can feel free to stay as long as you want. Does anyone have an issue or a concern with that? And then the second thing was, I would like to, if you are okay with it, kind of take 4.2 and 4.6 in consecutive order, the long-term plan and the current budget, because I was just kind of looking between the two and I had some questions how they related to each other. Yeah. So I thought it might be good to just talk about them both at the same time.
Certainly.
So item 4.5. Allow me to turn it over to Chief Ficone and Mary for that item. Can I just say that the attachment that we got for a report was dated May 20th. Was that the one that you intended to send us?
Yeah, so the chief has a verbal report just kind of updating us, but what I had was, I think I put my own kind of staff report just to talk about what we would be looking at. That we have the contract in place, that the fire services fee we approved with the budget back in June, and then the city of El Cerrito has been having some budget reductions related to the fire budget, so I thought the chief could touch on that. And I just included his original fire services contract fee information for reference in the event that we needed it.
Okay, perfect. So, all right, so we turn it over to you, Michael. Thank you.
Good afternoon. So, the city's been having, financial issues that we've been going through for quite some time now, for even before the COVID-19 set in. In June, when the fee schedule was presented, if you remember, I discussed the fact that we were coming in, we were basically taking into account, some cost saving measures that we were wanting to, or that basically was that we did for the last 6 months of last year. And that the fact that we were going into this looking at trying to reduce the overtime fee or the overtime amount. If you remember last year, we ended up almost $1.2 million worth of overtime, primarily due to the vacancies, the three vacancies that we've been carrying for quite some time, in addition to the fact that we lost one of our paramedic engineers in January. And then, of course, just as we were getting ready to hire that position, the COVID set in, and we were not able to fill that slot. The other areas, as you have watched the numerous city council meetings and town hall meetings. They have discussed the different savings that they are looking at for the fire service. Because these are equal say, or these were some of the same savings that we did last year, such as deferring the replacement of an engine, also trying to, or basically some of the programs that we're not able to put on right now, such as our CERT training and CPR training, that, you know, we basically were cutting down or cutting back on those costs. That primarily is in the short overtime, which is, if I remember correctly, basically it's the non-suppression, the 51-146, the non-suppression overtime that we were cutting back on. And that, you know, we cut that back from what it was 2 years, or basically two fiscal years ago, last fiscal year. And then, of course, the overtime, we're looking at it being at $400,000 as opposed to $1.2 million. You know, we knew the cuts that we were going to be making, that the city manager has been talking about going into this. The other cuts that we're looking at again this year is going, and that is reflected in the vehicle replacement charge, is, you know, that again, we're deferring the purchase of one of our engines for one more year. And so that is the reason that that amount is down at $30,000 to take care of us, some other vehicle or some staff vehicle payments, as opposed to last year, if you remember, it was like $160,000 with it. The rest of the cuts that we're looking at, they're kind of behind the scene capital improvement costs that are not part of the that are not part of the fee schedule anyway. They're costs that do not, that are not shared costs with the city for it. So pretty much there's been a couple of increases, but I don't have in our PERS, now that we got the new PERS, what do you want to call it? The model or the multipliers, you know, PERS, well, PERS is PERS. They're jacking their rates up a little bit more, not a whole lot. The percentages that the city is paying went up from like 23 and some change up to 24 point, I believe it's 4%. So in essence, there is a slight increase in the PERS, which I'll be very honest with you, I don't believe is worth looking, you know, to do any changes from what the fee schedule is. Because quite honestly, I'm planning on trying to even off what we showed here. You know, I'm trying to come up with some additional savings, you know, just because we're trying to get savings anywhere and everywhere that we can. But for right now, as we go, well, we're already into the second month of this fiscal year. But as we go into the September, I believe the first council meeting in September, and they'll be approving the budget, it will be at the rate of which the fee schedule was set up for. We will be at the end of, I believe they're looking at the end of October to revisit and make any budget adjustments then. They're hoping to have a little better idea of where the tax revenue is and our Measure V money, you know, amid the COVID, you know, shut down or slow down in business. And so they'll be able to make some better predictions as to where everything is lying, you know, as far as income and whether or not we need to do further cuts into our budget. But the city council has been very clear, as I think I reported last month, that they are not looking at any, they're not looking at closing the stations. They're not looking at obviously laying off people. We're actually looking, and there was a meeting today with the labor group of filling those other three positions, and that is for the sole purpose of saving overtime with it. The PEPRA program, the PEPRA pension program now, you know, which is the overhauled pension, is saving the city money to where, you know, the old adage that it was cheaper to hire overtime than than pay for new people is, you know, it's kind of a not holding, it's not penciling out anymore, that it is cheaper for us to get the new employees and have three more people to help us, you know, fill vacancies and maintain our constant staffing of 9 people on every single day. So, you know, like I said, where we were at when this was presented, we pretty much knew what our cuts were, and the budget presented to the board is where we're at as far as the shared costs, you know. So any questions?
Don, do you have any questions?
No.
Mary?
I don't have any questions.
So I just had a quick question, or maybe a confirmation about, you know, the cost savings for CERT and CPR and the first aid class. So you said that comes out of non-suppression overtime. So I assume that means that those are like firefighter or battalion chief.
Firefighters.
Savings, firefighters.
Yes. Yeah, so, our firefighters do, well, we have one battalion chief. Chief Grappolo does some of the training. But actually he doesn't cost, you know, he's an exempt employee. So, he doesn't really cost us anything, but, most of the classes are taught by our line personnel, of which we do have to, if, you know, when they're teaching on their, you know, off duty, we have to pay them.
Got it. So is this just, so I wasn't sure if this was an actual sort of intended budget cut or was a cut that resulted from the impact of COVID-19, but not, you know, like not sort of planned, but a result of COVID-19 and not being able to offer these classes?
As far as this year, it's because of the COVID-19. You know, there is a, and so I guess it's one of those things, you know, we're able to save the money. And so we're utilizing that so that we don't have to make cuts somewhere else. You know, it's kind of like, you know, we don't want it to, we want to be able to show, you know, I mean, cause it is true savings. But we want to be able to show that, you know, we are making savings out there. But no, I mean, the importance of having the CPR and having the CERT, you know, training classes are extremely important. It's just the fact that, you know, until something changes, you know, we just can't do it. We did sneak, I don't know, maybe sneak's not the right word. We did at the beginning of June, we held a small CPR first aid class with some massive social distancing. And because we had a number of young, basically lifeguard people, high school, you know, people looking for summer jobs, doing lifeguarding, even though, you know, hoping that outside pools did open up finally, they had to have their CPR cards and their first aid cards for employment. So, you know, we kind of did a little favor there of, okay, we're going to be spread way apart. Everybody gets their own mannequin. You know, nobody's going to be, you know, no cross, you know, sharing of things. You know, the bandaging, instead of bandaging each other, we did, you know, the whole practice bandaging on the mannequins. So, you know, it was a little different. It worked. I don't know how effective it was, but most of the people we had in the class had had the class before. This was more like a refresher for them and to be able to legitimately offer them their card so they could have some summer employment. But for the most part, probably until, you know, we get to the point that we don't have to wear masks or the vaccines come in or that the government opens everything back up, you know, we just can't, we can't really risk the public by, or for that matter, risk our personnel of, you know, being able, of being exposed to it, you know. And as an example, you know, and it doesn't affect, well, kind of affects us because they're one of our neighbors, but the Moraga Marinda Fire District just had a person that was on one of these fires that just tested positive. He just has mild symptoms. So, I mean, it's not a serious thing from that aspect. But they basically traced his contacts and they have 19 members of their fire department potentially exposed that are now off being tested. You know, that's a major hit from one person. I mean, they're a lot bigger department than us. You know, they can absorb it a little bit as far as people being off. If we had 19 of our people exposed, we'd be in a world of hurt. We'd have, you know, we'd have basically 9 people working the whole time, nonstop, to keep everything covered. But, you know, so the risk is still out there. You know, because like I said, if we do get an exposure like that, we just can't, we can't weather that type of a hit.
So thank you very much for this. I listened to the last emergency. One reason I really kind of wanted to talk to you about this in a little bit of detail was that the last emergency preparedness committee on meeting on July 3rd, I'm allowed to listen but not say anything. One member of the committee really wants our district to hire our own position for public safety and CERT classes and that kind of thing. And pretty much at least 3 or 4 members of the committee and one board member sort of pushed back and said, that's what, you know, El Cerrito's doing that. We pay for a third of a battalion chief for that. And so I think it would be good to just kind of elevate this clarification to the level of the board so that if this does come before the board, we can be clear on, you know, what does El Cerrito provide us through the contract? And is there a gap that we need to fill on our own? Because it sounded like most people thought there was not really a gap that we need to fill on our own. But good to have the conversation when it comes up at a board meeting.
Sure. Yeah, that's not a problem whatsoever. You know, like I said, most of that stuff, you know, as far as what, I guess the clarification for the Emergency Preparedness Committee is, what are they looking for? You know, I mean, as far as what we've been doing, you know, is obviously the training. You know, CERT, again, is a neighborhood volunteer type of organization. We, you know, provide the training. We try to keep them organized, but it is, you know, it's not a, you know, I'll be very honest with you, we probably put more time towards the CERT than most agencies. Most agencies, the CERT people are, while the fire department keeps the training going, as far as among their groups, the volunteers are what keep it going strong for it. But anyway, but no, it's, you know, like I said, it's whether you want to hire one or not, I guess it depends on what the scope of what they're looking for out there. You know, if it's over and above what we normally do.
Right, exactly. And by the way, we do have this community member who's been really going like gangbusters as a volunteer, organizing all the CERT leaders. She did an online ham radio class and with Zoom, and mm-hmm. she's been sending me all kinds of reports, which I find to be really informative, and I should maybe publish them in our packet. But I just wanted to say that she's been very pleased with the communication she's been having with Battalion Chief Gupalo. So he's definitely being responsive, and that's been very useful. So even with these cuts, at least her experience is she's still getting what she needs from El Cerrito. Anything else, Don or Mary? Let's just quickly, any public comment? We try to keep with our 3 minutes if possible, but if you'd like to make a comment or a really brief question, we have a pretty big agenda, but please raise your hand.
I don't see any.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Chief Pagoni. Really appreciate all the clarifications.
Okay, absolutely no problem. Is because I do have some other things I need to attend to. Is there anything else on? I'll be honest with you, I've been in one Zoom after another this morning. I haven't had a chance to look at the agenda a whole lot. Is there anything else that you're going to need from me, or are we good?
No, I think you're fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if not, call my phone and I can dial back in.
Okay. All right.
Thanks. Okay. Take care.
Thanks.
You too.
Be safe.
We'll be.
No, maybe if we go back, then we've taken care of 4.5. What if we go 4.1, 4.2, 4.6? Does that sound good to you folks?
Did we want to do the minutes?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We do. Thank you, Mary.
You have the comment section too.
Well, we did the comment section.
We did.
Yeah, okay. There were no comments. So.
There were no. That's true.
Okay. Yes. Item three. I didn't have any questions on the minutes. Did you, Don?
No, I did read them too.
Oh, I did. Sorry, I'm a little in paperwork disarray here. But I think that there was an update that could be made. Weren't the minutes of the March meeting in here? For some reason, I'm not seeing them.
Yes, they were in the, because I had two separate packets for the additional information. So they were in the first group, item three, after the agenda.
Yeah, so the other member of the public that attended, this was our last in-person meeting of the Finance Committee before COVID-19 hit. And so that was Lynn Walter is her last name.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
W-O-L-T-E-R. Says last name unknown.
Yeah, we'll make that update. These came from, these are the ones that RGS provided to the district.
Yeah.
So we'll make that update.
Okay. Great. Okay, so I guess, do we need to have... We just, by consensus, approve the minutes, I think. Do you agree, Don? Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Okay, great. Thank you for stopping me there. Okay. So shall we go on to the timesheets then?
Yes.
Let me see. Don, did you have any questions or comments about Mary's timesheets?
No, she's a busy woman, though. It was pretty easy to read, I think.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Mary. Oh,
and what I'll tell you what I plan to do. We've had some questions come up as we're talking about the permanent general manager position. So I try to put a lot of detail into the timesheets that may or may not be helpful, but for the purposes of kind of defining percentage of time spent in major areas. I'm going to be working on that. I haven't had a chance to do that yet, just to get an idea of what the percentage of time, say, is with respect to general administration or finance and budget, policies, emergency preparedness or public safety kind of together. So maybe 5 or 7 major areas. And of course, if I look backward, there's probably going to be more time for having gotten some of those things up to date, where in the future that could be a little bit different, but just to provide a better idea for that. So that'll be in progress.
I think that would help the board a lot.
Yeah.
Sort of also, I mean, looking backward, we had kind of these one-time things that were not non-recurring, like the whole issue with RGS, and then some of the new policy development, although probably there's always going to be policy development. So I didn't have any questions either. And so I just want to ask you, I think you fixed that one. So May 18 through 24, the 37.5, that's actually correct, right?
Yes, this should be the correct one.
So it's definitely noteworthy, I think, that you're spending the full 30 hours every week. And I hope that you're billing us for all of the time that you spent, because I know that...
I can shift easily enough, and you know, certain times in the middle of working on something could be downtime. So it's not an issue.
Okay. And I was also, doesn't this item include your reimbursement?
Yeah, and that was in the additional, so it's kind of separated. the additional little packet of information, and it is...
That's 297 altogether. Yes. Mostly for copying and Zoom.
Yeah, and so the Zoom once, so with respect to the bank, they have the paperwork to make the updates, so they asked me to give them a little bit of time so that then I can order a debit card. So once I can order a debit card, the Zoom can be billed that direction.
Oh, you mean so... the actual getting you onto the account and all that stuff. Oh, good. I'm glad that's moving along.
Yeah.
That's great.
So okay. They just asked that I wait just a little bit before requesting that card.
Okay, great. Okay, perfect.
So that'll help out.
Okay, so is it just fine if we just approve this consensus?
Yeah, and for this, it's just that if there were to be any issue, it would be something per the contract that the committee would refer to the board. Any concern with any issues? Otherwise, it's just for a review, and if you have no issues, then it's fine.
Okay, excellent. Okay, all right. So then the long-term financial plan and the final budget for the current fiscal year. So I'll turn that over to you. Okay. I do have questions, but I'll just let you walk, why don't you walk us through it? Maybe I'll save my questions. Should we save our questions until after you kind of walk us through the whole thing?
Probably, because I might touch on them. And what I'm going to actually do, I originally had this order going so that we could look at the long-term financial plan for reserves purposes before talking about the building. But since we're talking about budget, I'm going to start with budget and incorporate the long-term financial plan discussion along with it. But I'll hit the budget first.
Well, if it's easier to do it in the way that you've laid it out, I'm also fine with that. So I'll leave it up to you because this is your work. So why don't you do it in the way that makes the most sense?
Yeah, and no problem, because they actually touch on each other, so it's actually easier to start with a budget. Because if I start with the long-term financial plan, I have to refer to the budget documents anyway, so I'm going to
start. Okay. Oh, so we'll start with the budget then?
Yeah.
Okay, all righty.
So the preliminary budget was approved at the June 10th meeting, and we've had some changes with respect to additional authorization to hire staff, administration, and finance part-time positions. So I've incorporated the cost for that. The potential office space lease, I don't believe I've included that yet because it's still a potential, but after we have that discussion, then I can incorporate that. That's a separate item we'll be talking about. And then capital projects, I've incorporated what I think is the current year cost for potential construction design or part thereof, but I'll probably need a little bit more information to figure out the timing of the expenditures. And then I've incorporated what would be the projected amounts for fiscal year 2020. So that's on the next table. So I'll start with the reserve balances because I'm trying to put this together so that it's meaningful. And this is, I think, helpful information in planning the public safety building. So I went through, and really this is a summary of what the major overall categories of reserves are. So the reserve balances table is what I'm looking at. The operating reserve, capital outlay reserve, and SERPT, which is the OPEB trust, that's listed here for purposes of showing that that money is in that trust, but that money's not available for any other purpose. We wouldn't be able to take that out. It's guided by the Internal Revenue Code. So for operating balances, I've got the projected ending for fiscal year 2020. We haven't gone through the audit yet. We have our audit date scheduled at the end of September, so we'll know if there are any additional adjustments, reconciliations at that point. But what I have projected so far is an operating balance of $5.2 million. What I did here was try to show the revenues that go through, the expenditures that go through. The transfer in is what I have coming from the capital fund, and that's for the remaining purchase of the engine apparatus that'll be coming up soon, when it'll actually fall into this next fiscal year. But this is the year in which it was budgeted, was 2020. And then the transfer out to capital is the $525,000, which is for the renovation fund, capital fund, the vehicles, the different categories, type one, type two, and engine. So that goes out to the capital fund. So you'll see the negative coming out of the operating, and then the positive going into the capital. And so going through the capital outlay, kind of following that same premise, what I tried to do here, if you see revenues, that I tried to estimate the prorated share of interest revenue, because it should be assigned there. And we'll have that change going forward. So if I look at adding interest, and then for expenditures, I don't have any right there, because I had it shown actually out of the operating fund. And then the $525,000 funding that comes in, it leaves a $4 million balance in the capital outlay fund. And then with the SERPT, we have, after getting the reimbursement out of the SERPT, $1.4 million. And so when you go into fiscal year 2021, based on what we think so far, we'll end up with a $5 million operating reserve and $4.2 million in capital reserve. So on the next table, the budgeting summary, this is the summary, major categories of the property tax revenues, the special taxes, other taxes, lease income for the building lease, which will change as we go into the building renovation. And then the salary reimbursement that was associated with the position prior, the district manager position prior. So that won't be a future consideration. And then investment income. So for investment income, we have projected for this fiscal year $125,000, which is over budget, which is good. I tried to keep it kind of conservative for the next year in 2021 at $121,000, because we will be spending down some money. And then for expenditures for the major categories, we have the fire services contract fee of 3.5, services supplies 632, utilities of 24,000, and then capital outlay. And so capital outlay is what I estimated so far as a kind of a 10% placeholder for construction design. That may or may not be what's going to occur during fiscal year 21. So that number might change a little bit. So based on all of that, we'd end up with a fund balance, which is different from cash balance, of 5.4 million. And then, so I have the detail in the next schedule of all of the more detailed categories of expenditures. So I'll just kind of point through some of the ones that have changed. So when you look probably a third down to office wages and related expenses of $158,580 off to the far right. So that's where I have estimated the general manager salary and the administrative assistant and finance person. And I included student in there. I haven't found one yet, but we included the budget for that. And then all of the other ones, I just kind of try to take a look at what the expenditures were. There are some that still came through with nothing in fiscal year 2020 projected. So that could change if we need to do any more reclassifications, or if something comes through that we need to accrue. Legal fees have been increasing, decreasing kind of in various years. It was higher in 2020 of $67,000. I dropped it down a little bit because I know in 2020 we worked on the contract for the interim general manager and some policies that I'm trying to take over now. So I thought $55,000 would be reasonable going into fiscal year 2021. So with accounting, We have that as the contract accounting services right now that would turn into a position later. We're still doing some reconciliation, so I still want to keep that money here prior to hiring on a finance person. Other changes, let's see.
So that was my question, actually. You said the 158,580 includes the general manager plus the two part-time positions?
Yes. So I tried to estimate at what point in time they could be hired. So I wouldn't anticipate, I mean, for me, I'm here. And then I tried to estimate what it might be for the rest of the year for when a permanent general manager is hired. But for the other two positions, I put the placeholder in starting from, I believe, November. So they wouldn't, you know, that wouldn't be an office wage cost until November when potentially we could have somebody in there.
Okay. And so then there's probably going to be, it wouldn't be just an absolute cutoff of the accounting services.
No, not necessarily. Yeah, that might depend. And we'll just see how, we'll know definitely as we go through the audit, how clean things are and how easy it is to reconcile between our records and the county records. So we'll know more in the coming month or two.
Okay, great, thanks.
Sure. I added, we talked about in the adoption of the preliminary, the potential for a grant writer contract. So I put 15,000 in there. I'm not certain if that's exactly enough, but I put that in as a starting point. And the PSB consultant, that's public safety building. So that relates to some of the costs that we've been incurring recently with the county exploration evaluation of whether or not the elevator is required and the seismic. And then RGS obviously is no longer a consulting service fee. I included an estimate for BHI of 10,000. Mine goes away since I'm a position now. And then I have the temporary services for the admin assistant that I tried to include for the first part of the year, which would then turn into a position later.
Can I just ask you, the PSB consultant, is that both RDC and MAC 5, or is it just MAC 5?
It's both. And some of those costs, so once something turns into a capital project, some of those costs, if they're related to evaluating the building for purposes of the capital project, they would be capitalized and not an expenditure here, but they're shown here for right now for purposes of budget.
Okay.
Let's see. Public education, I kept it kind of where it was, even though we might have spent less. I know public education is important, so I left that budget available. And the programs, there wasn't a lot of activity in programs this year, but I left those costs available.
You might get some feedback about the CERT sheds. I think they used to have a higher budget.
Oh, but okay.
Traditionally, they have not really been accessed.
Oh, okay.
So we cut them down last year, mid-year, because none of the CERT folks were accessing the money, and one board member wasn't happy with that. So that might be something that maybe you just connect with Chief Pagoni about what he thinks would be a reasonable budget for the CERT sheds.
Certainly, I will do that. And then just tried to look at the different categories of expenses. I think I need to increase telephone. Looks like we've spent more.
Say again.
The telephone, it's on the top of the next page, telephone. We've actually spent 11,000. So once we reconcile that, if that's accurate, I'll need to increase this number a little bit to reflect the fact that telephone charges are a little bit higher than they have been. Everything else is pretty much just an increase. We've got the contingency that I guess during mid-year they kind of took out, but I think it's a good idea to have a contingency in there. And then once we end up spending it, if we did, we'd categorize it in the correct place, but at least those funds are budgeted for that purpose.
Yeah. That was an RGS opinion when they were managing the finances that we shouldn't have a contingency, but we've always had one.
Yeah. And I think maybe a lot of times there's kind of the misnomer that I would want to look through to see what the $1,700 is. We might have to reclassify that. Because if we spend that money somehow with respect to a project, a consultant, I would want to categorize it there and not just call it a contingency. So that may have been what RGS, their concern was, but having the funds here at least has a placeholder, and then we can reclassify it as needed.
Since you're sort of looking at that level, there's just one tiny little thing that sticks in my mind always, and that is the Polygon project.
Yes.
Polygon. So we actually spent $5,600 because we paid $600 for some maps that the fire department ordered.
So
I think RGS put those somewhere else, but it was a Copy Central charge for maps.
I'll look for that because I noticed that it was only five and I haven't come across that yet. So it's in there somewhere in a different account, I'm sure. So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that it's that big of a deal, but thought I'd bring it up.
Yeah. And so then let's see, the last page is the capital funding where it breaks down the specific categories that have capital funds being accumulated and what the plan was from records that I found so far, 2021 and all the way to 2031. So for the type 1 vehicle, the type 3 vehicle, the command vehicle, and then the public safety building improvements renovation, that's the breakdown for each of those funds. So I'm gonna go over the long-term financial plan, but I can stop for questions if you have any at this point, or if you want me to continue. I'm happy to do either.
How about you, Don? Do you have any questions?
I don't. There's one thing that I find, and maybe it's impossible, but when you're looking at these long lists, and you're trying to find something, they're not alphabetical.
Yeah.
But is there a way of somehow maybe sectioning them up by topic or something so that you're not continually trying to find something and find, you know, you're back and forth and drives me crazy.
Yeah, that's what I'm planning to do. They come out of the system this way and it's really difficult for me even to find them. So I like it better when they're at least categorized and then they're sublines. So we'll get the reformatting done.
Yeah, and you don't have to total them up. It's just finding them, you know. Yeah. Okay. That would be nice.
Yeah, we'll do that.
It seems like I could spend 15 minutes and once you get lost, you're lost.
Yeah. That's no problem.
So I just had a question on the page reserve balances.
Okay.
And maybe this is a dumb question, but in the FY20 projected.
Yes.
So you show the beginning balance and then revenues 4.73 and then expenditures and then a transfer in for the engine of 300.
Right.
So that does that mean that the expense for the engine is booked in expenditures and then you're sort of canceling that out with this transfer in or...
That's kind of awkward, and I don't think I should do that one in that manner. In prior years, I think that the capital outlay was listed right below the operating. So I think with respect to that 300, I can just leave it as coming out of the capital outlay as an expenditure. So I'll make that change. It'll make it easier.
This way of kind of piggy banking the money for the state, you know, they're so expensive, but it's kind of a classic thing that you see all over the place, except maybe for a very large department that would just sort of have a general kind of fund. But anyway, that's where, how it came about.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, I think it's very prudent, actually.
Yeah. So.
And it keeps you honest in terms of getting the money, and then rather than you see departments that get to time to buy an engine and they don't have any money because they didn't manage it well. So this is a way of kind of keeping honest and.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Setting aside these reserves has been, I think, very, very good for the district, especially in approaching the public safety building.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Good job, Don. Yeah. I can't take any credit for it.
Well, the idea has been around a ways, a while.
Yeah. I guess I didn't really have any other questions. I asked you all my questions. Mine are more just on the long term.
Yeah.
Let's just see quickly we have three members of the public. Any very quick questions from the public? Looks like no hands raised?
No.
Okay. All right. What's now are we going to the long-term plan?
Yes. So okay. Let's go back there. And I'll find it. So, okay. What I've done here and is to put the essentially project forward using a variety of percentages, the various categories of revenues or expenses. One change that I am going to make as this goes to the board is to incorporate a 2% increase in the property taxes. All of the information I have is saying that we are going to see that increase ongoing, that we're not going to be impacted negatively by some of the things that have gone on recently. So I think it's wise to program that in. So that's about $84,000 or so of additional revenue we'll see going forward through the budget years.
Yeah, I agree with that, adding that yeah. percentage. Yeah.
So for the rest of them, for the most part, unless it's something that was a one-time type of expenditure going forward, they've been projected mostly 2%, some 3%, some if it's kind of a consulting, it might be flat, such that it doesn't necessarily need an escalator. So this is just part of what ends up going into the reserve balance calculation. The next stage of it is I want to try to build it a little bit more to summarize the expenditures into the major categories and have the reserve balances before and after to just kind of show how that works. So I'm happy to answer your questions.
Okay. My only question on the revenue section.
Uh-huh.
Is the projection of the KPPCSD lease income?
Yeah.
I know for this year, you know, we don't have a timeline for the renovation and when they get out and all that. But it seems like going forward, and maybe this is not the time to do it.
Yeah.
But if they really take over the entire bottom floor,
mm-hmm.
as it's sort of projected, yeah.
And there are a couple ways to do that. So it'll definitely be a different amount.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure exactly what to program in here. It's easy to change it once we know those numbers. But for right now, this is what we have. It'll definitely change if they end up occupying that space. And if for any reason they didn't, of course, then that would go away.
So we're going to have to, it's going to get a little more complicated. Because I think there would be a loan that they're repaying, so that's not revenue, I don't think. And what's going to be amazing? Well, we don't spend a lot of money on the building. Well, we spend it in lumps and bumps. But if we after this remodel, the building should be pretty much maintenance free for 10 years, and then you know by the end of 20 years, you're having to do things again.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that's part of the public safety item that we'll be talking about in just a moment.
Yes.
I won't say anymore.
Okay, that's all I had on revenue. Did you have anything, Don? Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Mary. Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Where, do you want me to head on to the next item then?
Oh, as far as expenditures or just the next agenda item?
Yeah, I'm ready for the next. If you have any questions on expenditures, as I said, I just kind of projected those forward based on percentages. And if it's a contract kind of a fee, it might be one time, so there wouldn't be any projected forward, or it might be just kind of a flat amount depending upon what kind of contract it is.
So I just have one thing that it was going to be a question here, but it also caused me to go back to bring something to your attention for the budget.
Okay.
So I have two questions.
Okay.
The one that relates back to the budget.
Uh-huh.
So down the Diablo FireSafe DFS matching grants.
Right.
So your projected amount seems fine. I can't remember if you know what that is, but a member of our community who is on the board of the Diablo FireSafe Council, she raises donations from residents.
Okay.
And she reports to us in usually maybe March or April of how much she raised in the calendar year.
Okay.
And then the fire district has traditionally matched what she raises.
Okay.
So in that sense, you're giving her new goals by raising that amount every year.
Oh.
I think that's fine. That's not the part I wanted to ask you about. But what I noticed in the budget, and this was something that I think slipped through the cracks, I've raised it a few times with RGS, but for FY 2020 projected,
right.
We've got a zero there, but we did get a letter from Diablo FireSafe, and I haven't forwarded it to you, I will send it to you again from Cheryl Miller.
Cheryl Miller, I'll search for it, because I know you mentioned that they had received it, and I don't know that I found it, but yes, I'll look for it, and if not, I'll ask you for it.
There is a kind of a tragedy, you know, because the feds cut those grants down a lot. So it might be better, or we might think about just rather than meeting the grant, which is now, you know, they're almost out of business if you look at what they're able to do. So we might want to help them more than 50%.
Yeah, and the thing is that I think that I had expected our emergency preparedness committee was going to really highlight the Juniper program, because one thing this goes to, Mary, is that residents can apply to get grants to have their Juniper removed, but we need to keep that in front of them. That's actually handled by Diablo FireSafe. But then there is another thing I wanted to bring to your attention, because I was looking into this the other day because there was a Juniper post on Nextdoor. So you have the FireSafe planting grants in your budget, which is good.
Okay.
But what I was not able to find on our website is how do residents apply for those? All I could find were some references, in some old fire plugs, like I found 2018 fire plug. So I couldn't find a specific, so we keep budgeting for it and not spending it. And I think it's partly because people don't know how to get it.
Okay.
Get access to.
What are we giving them now? I'm not seeing it right away.
It's right. It's about an inch and a half up from the bottom of the page. It's called Fire Safe Planting Grants. And the budget is $3,090. And I think the program is to give people like $200 each or something. But honestly, I couldn't find a reference for how they apply to it.
Yeah.
We'll get the website needs a little bit of updating, so we'll make it clearer to find those things.
Yeah. So that was my comment there.
Okay.
And then my only other comment, actually, I just want to touch back in with you about the contract reconciliation and the amounts that you show. So remember last year, 2019, we thought we were changing the way we accounted for the reconciliation.
Uh-huh.
We thought we were accruing it in the year that the excess occurred rather than 2 years from now.
Right.
By using an estimate. But then it seemed like the auditors did it in a different way. What was the upshot of that?
Well, and I think that the way the auditors had done it, and I want to say they kind of split it out into two amounts. And my understanding was that part of that was for the prior year, but part of it was actually for even a prior year that they recorded through the liability process rather than as an expense to current year expenditures. So I don't know that we would have that same problem going forward because I think we've caught up with that so that it's just each year we have that estimate for the prior year.
So this $288,532 for the current year budget, is that the amount that you're estimating that El Cerrito's gonna exceed the current fee proposal?
Actually, that's from the contract fee schedule that they're billing the district for. And it's their estimate of the reconciliation amount from the prior year.
Okay, because that was the adjustment that we were going to make is that maybe we don't have to go into it in great detail now, but it was the thing where...
Yeah, I'll review it.
Yeah, and then I also wondered why it decreases so dramatically to 100. Do you think it's in future years? Is that because El Cerrito seems to be budgeting more stably now?
That was, yeah, and that's what the chief had said, is that they're trying to be really careful, and it's probably with projecting some of those vacant positions and how that offsets overtime. So he expected that amount to be lower in future years.
And he also took that, whatever, call it sleight of hand or whatever you want to call it. Remember that salary savings that never got realized? And he said that he made an executive decision they were not going to do that again.
Yes, that was the previous city manager.
Yeah. So that also makes it more stable.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Oh, I guess my final question, and I just didn't know if I'm understanding this improperly.
Okay.
But where you settle it all up on the next page, it looks like, am I seeing it correctly, that expenditures exceed revenues this year?
And so that, and it's only because I've got that capital outlay number listed within expenditures, because capital outlay essentially will be coming out of that capital fund. So I'll change the placement of that to below expenditures as a capital outlay coming out of the capital fund. So that's what puts it over, because normally that wouldn't be the case. It's just paying for that construction design that would really be coming out of the capital outlay fund and not operating.
Oh, okay.
So it's really a capital fund, a capital expenditure.
Coming out of the capital outlay fund and not coming out of...
Right, not coming out of operating.
That just really threw me off. Okay, great. Thanks. Okay, let's just see if there's any public comment on this item, even though we're not making a decision. Anybody have a comment or a question?
I don't see any.
Okay. All right, onward to, now we're going to 4.3, the public safety building.
Yes.
Shared financing, okay.
So the public safety building, obviously, you know, it's undergoing county evaluation right now for purposes of looking at the conceptual design related to the need or not having need for an elevator and seismic evaluation. So currently the board had determined to proceed with option B, taking that to the county for evaluation, and the county's evaluating it. We got an update from the county after several meetings with RDC Architecture that, and I think I included that, I wanted to include that. What they have said is that it's going to be several weeks before they give us a final answer. So they have talked amongst themselves. They believe that it's possible that the deck enclosure could happen. But with the elevator, they have indicated that they believe we will need an elevator in that building.
Oh.
And they got a verbal on that. They've gone back and forth, and they're not even quite sure who's the county. They're going back and forth with departments to determine who says we need it, who says we don't. But they've verbally told us that we would need it, but they won't give us final communication on that for, they said, several weeks. RDC is going to continue to talk with them. But we actually had a call yesterday to see what we might want to do as far as with Bill Lindsay from the KPP-CSD, because they're part of that evaluation, and with the kind of advice of the architect firm. And we think that it may be wise to look at what would a redesign look, just a conceptual redesign look like if we need the elevator, but that we still get the balcony enclosed.
You know, if I could interrupt.
Yes.
I have a real difference the way the architect went after the patio thing. And I'll send you the code section that this is in this, it's in the code where you count, you have to, you can only have so many people per square foot, you know, right, and so forth. And there is a section for courtyards and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's a dead giveaway, because what happens is the code looks at that space as being like a room. And it then is counted that way because you have to go through another room. It doesn't go into a, you know, into a hallway or something else. And, okay, and if you look at what he wrote up, it's a mess.
Okay.
I'm going to send that to you. And I think he's way out of his, you know, and he's a stubborn guy. And I told him about this. I sent it to him. He didn't pay any attention. It's really clear if he paid attention to the code. So I'll send that to you. And I think I'd like you to send them to and say, you better do a better job with this.
Well, we actually had an idea that could help very much with, because Bill and I both talked about the potential for our agencies to send a letter to the county with some additional language that might be what you're talking about, including to say that we believe that we should be able to proceed with having that space enclosed. So,
oh yeah, it's just as clear. And when you read his text, he's just way off. He didn't know what he was doing.
Okay.
And it really made me unhappy, because I gave him something that was so clear.
Okay.
And I think someone on the code side could have said, well, why don't we just look at this and then here's what you get. Yeah. Now, so the elevator is, it's tricky. And what right now, diagrams, we have put it basically back where the downstairs restroom is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the way the retaining wall, I think I've told you this before, but retaining walls, if they come down and they have what's called a cantilever, which is a foundation that goes out on the downside.
Mm-hmm.
So you're putting the weight, you know, of water and earth on that footing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very thick and it's very long.
Okay.
And I told Mallory that he better figure that out, because if we have to go up front, we have all the dorms, that those sorts of things up there. It's right in the middle. You've got an elevator, so it makes a lot of difficulties. And I don't know that he's actually followed up on the foundation. So it'd be another thing we ought to ask him, because if he's not, and all you have to do is look at the engineer's cross section,
okay,
and you'll see what we got. Now, if they put it way down underground, it's okay. But you know, these hydraulic elevators have a kind of a telescope sort of thing, mm-hmm. and they have some space below the level of the platform.
Okay. So
now, the other thing is, in those notes he wrote up, he never mentioned that this was a police, you know, police or fire, which are they're able-bodied people. They can't do the job if they're not able-bodied. And so he was not making that argument on those notes, at least that I saw.
And I believe they actually did in their in-person meetings communicate a lot. And they initially verbally thought that perhaps the, you know, argument that fire would be upstairs, police would be downstairs, would make it such that the elevator might not be needed. But as they've gone through all of the review, they really do feel that per code it's going to be needed. And the other consideration that we talked about that's kind of a risk is that if somehow they decided, the county, okay, you can go along with your plan with no elevator, the district would still be potentially subject to a suit by anyone who would come forward to put, this happens from time to time, an ADA suit, American Disabilities Act.
Yes, but if you look at California, there's 95% of two-story elevators, stations that don't have elevators. It's just, they're just enforcing this code requirement now, 100%. They would let you by. So I think that's what they're heading.
Yeah.
But most of them don't have elevators.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done dozens of two-story buildings and they don't have elevators.
Yeah.
Can I just ask, if it's a judgment call, such as what you just raised, Mary, about if the county says we waives us having the elevator, and it's really up to the fire district, is that right? Because the police district, they're just tenants.
Yeah.
So it's the fire district's ultimate decision.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound like they're going that way based on current emails.
It doesn't, it takes up space. So, yeah. We better figure out where we can put the elevator because we're in real deep trouble if we have to put it up front because we'll be right there in the dorms and we'd have to shuffle everything around, I guess. But the elevator takes 100 square feet and the mechanical room takes another 100 square feet. So on wherever, that's 200 square feet on one of those floors is a big deal.
Yeah. So... Yeah.
And we really wanted to do a new building, but we didn't pull it off.
Yeah, I know. So what our thought was that, from the police protection district side of things, they can evaluate, what they want because the fire protection district board is the one that said, we'll proceed with evaluating option C or B, but that we're not considering the one with the elevator. My only concern is that we might be able to find a design that's workable. We would definitely have to work with the fire chief and the police chief in seeing if there are any adjustments to what plan had ever been done before with respect to an elevator to see if we could meet their needs.
Well, Mallory had a sketch against the back wall.
Uh-huh.
And so that was to put the mechanical room on the top floor. And then we would take away 100 square feet on the ground floor.
Right.
And so we've had that conversation. And if it goes up front, it's going to be really hard for the second floor. Why they built the building like that, I don't know, but we're stuck with it.
Right.
I know that both Chris Deppe and Steve Simpkins had said that from the, and this was in public meetings,
mm-hmm.
Had said that from the police perspective, they could still make it work if we have the elevator.
Oh, that's different because they were going to leave. Well, I remember early on, and we said, where are they going? You know, so that's, yeah.
And we were told that was their general manager's position, but not the police chief position. Okay. So we probably, I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but it just seems like if we have to have the elevator, we have to look at it again.
Yeah. And
oh, yeah. I mean, if they say you have to have it, then, then it's over.
Right. So from our perspective, we would like to evaluate whether we can incorporate that. Not that we are going to have that, you know, run through the county for right now. It's just to see if it would even functionally work so that we could bring it back to the board, because they did determine originally they didn't want that, but it's a different plan. It would be, I'll call it option D. But we would like to be able to look at that to say that we've looked at everything we humanly possibly can before making any final decision. And because of the fact that the county,
there is a hardship thing that they can enforce, and maybe drawing that elevator up front and then showing what the second floor is like, you know, with the elevator in the middle of the in the middle of their showers, you know, and all that kind of stuff,
right,
is not at the top of the stairway. But I think you're right, and we could find out if the footing is a big problem.
Right.
And that's just a, in fact, we should, what happened to all the records when Brenda left?
So right now the records are stored in file cabinets in that conference room.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
Okay. So there should be a folded up floor plan. So maybe I'll just go in and try to find it, and I can look at it, and it'll be obvious.
Okay.
I'll do that.
Okay. So based on what our discussion was, we wanted to be able to take a look at that. Mallory was going to get back to me on how much has been expended with the county efforts so far. He thinks it's possible that if we were to look at a potential conceptual redesign to fit the fire chief and police chief needs, that it might be an effort of anywhere from $3,000 to $8,000, which may end up being within that $27,000.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have many choices. So.
Yeah.
So I'm going to look at and find out, to satisfy myself if the footing is as big and bad a thing as I imagine.
Okay.
And I'm going to send you the code section, I'll just, for the other thing.
Okay.
And then we'll ask the question. So Mallory, I just don't want Mallory to spend the money and then say, whoops, we can't make this work.
Right. And we wanted to see if there was any way to, you know, leave no stone uncovered, such that we've done all of our due diligence before the board makes final decisions on either side.
Oh, I know it. Yeah. This thing has dragged on way too far.
Yeah. And that was the concern. And that's why Bill Lindsay actually called to schedule a meeting, because he sees that the county is going to not issue, but they're so busy that they're not going to issue a final written decision for several more weeks.
Yeah.
Given that they think it's going to be required, we're just waiting for nothing.
Yeah, that's disappointing.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I was trying to put, well, I'm going to let you keep going, but just tell you what's going through my head.
Okay.
As you walk through the plan, the kinds of questions, I'm trying to put an actual timeline to this.
Yeah.
The other part of it is, you know, lining it up with board meetings.
Right.
And are we going to have special meetings? And then some of the references to presenting, like, is Mallory going to present separately to each board? Are we going to get both boards together in the same room? Are we going to have a public meeting? So those were some of the things that I was trying to sort out, because I'll let you walk through it and then I'll ask you a question. But those are the things that come to my mind.
Okay. And so those are some good points, because right now, but when I wrote this up, we weren't sure that the county yet was going to say that an elevator would be needed. So this is a little bit different. Final determination, we may not get in September from the county. But if we proceed with at least exploring what it would look like with an elevator, if we could get all the needs met, RDC could potentially present that design in September.
And yeah, and that's what it is at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, if that's the way it goes. Right. I think you're right.
And so we could potentially, since that design is going to affect both agencies, and it's not going to be for decision purposes exactly, it's going to be for information gathering. It could be presented at a joint meeting if we wanted to try to minimize separate meetings, unless the boards, you know, felt that they wanted to speak about it separately, which could be done later.
It's the people that never talk to each other. It's literally, we've not talked to the president for 3 or 4 years about this. They do not want to talk about it, but okay. It's coming to a point where they're going to have to.
Yeah. So I hadn't thought about that, but since that presentation is really going to be the same for both sides, it very well could be a joint meeting, and it would be public because I think we want the public to weigh in on that, obviously.
And then we always have to consider, we could use the Fireplug to publicize that, or the Outlook, but then we have to queue up with the Outlook's schedule. Queue up with the Outlook schedule, but we could send a special mailing and obviously publicize it, but.
Yeah.
Okay.
It would be nice to get a commitment from Bill Lindsay about that, because more often than not, that board kind of cancels their meetings. Oh.
They've been playing a game, so yeah.
No, they have it in their policy book that they're supposed to have 2 meetings a month, and they just it'd be nice to just get some kind of commitment, because our board has been incredibly flexible.
Yes.
About having special meetings for these things.
Yeah.
So we'll say that the presentation occurs on whatever final conceptual plan. And then each board obviously needs to go back and make decisions. But with respect to the KPP-CSD occupancy, we'd want a pretty quick turnaround, and I've let Bill know that, you know, the board obviously is wanting to make the decision once we have final information, and that, you know, that would be expected from their board. What we could do after determining, okay, that somehow it'll work with both, and that if the fire board decides, yes, we will offer space, let's just say, then we could put together some form of MOU or lay out an agreement that would say what the specific timing is expected for decision, whether or not to occupy that space from the KPP-CSD. So we could lay out the terms, because we'd want a pretty quick turnaround, probably 30 days or so for them, you know, from the time that they get information to make a decision as to whether they would want to be in that building.
Mary, the only way this is going to work if we take control and say, here's what we're going to do, and here's when we're going to have it.
Right.
Because just playing footsie with them, just you saw 4 or 5 months of that. And at the end of the time, you had almost nothing to show. So I think their idea is to stay in the building just the way it is, all they can, for as long as they can. They don't care about the condition, the structural thing. They just want to stay where they are, because it's the cheapest way to go.
Yeah. Well,
but I think if we don't have control, it'll slip and slip and slip.
Yeah. So we'll lay the terms out for them to determine whether or not to participate. If the Fire Protection District Board determines that they want to offer that space, then we would make a quick turnaround for the CSD, PPCSD, to make a decision.
Yeah.
Because I was looking at I just did a tentative timeline that even if if we got the answer from the county around maybe September 15th, for example, which sounds like probably not going to happen.
Right.
But then 1 week following the determination would be September 22nd for your step number two.
Right.
And so then, you know, then step number three is both boards reviewing the updated plan and financing, and it says 1 month following the determination. So that would put us already at October.
They should be able to do all of this in a day. This is not a big deal.
Well, yeah, we'd already be getting into November for step
I know.
Three.
I
Oh, and the actual, so
I don't have to worry about this all being settled before my vote comes in or not.
So the determination that I'm thinking of is September. So not going 1 month from the last step. It's kind of, so kind of, it's a total of 1 month is what I'm looking at, essentially.
Okay. And fine. I mean, that's sort of.
I'm trying to keep a very tight timeline, and Bill Lindsay is aware of that.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
My hope is that some of what you'll be able to nail down with him, because I keep writing these notes, like for step three, is it going to be, you know, each board meeting separately? Is it going to be a special meeting, you know, the regular meeting, special meeting, a joint board meeting?
Okay.
Are we going to appoint subcommittees at some point to talk to each other? I think it would help to get his commitment on something more specific, because it's still feeling sort of amorphous to me.
Okay. Well, I think, again, with my fear that they make things not work, is why don't we just have a joint meeting? And you got a date, and they show up. If they don't show up, I don't know what you do. But I think that would be good to get everybody in the same room. And then you don't have these funny things that happen when somebody sits at one of our meetings, and then the story that comes out is altogether different.
Yeah, there was a big kerfuffle, some secondhand report about a brief comment that was made at our meeting. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden was represented the next night that we're going to have a huge tax increase. Uh-huh. You know, and we didn't even have an action item. I mean, we postponed the item, so.
Right. So, yeah, that I can bring a more specific plan to the next board meeting, and I'll work with Bill on that as far as special meetings, et cetera. We talked about the idea of a joint finance committee meeting and weren't really sure that would accomplish what we're looking for. I think we can probably do it in a course of these board meetings, but we're certainly open to a subcommittee or a building committee if we think we need that. So I'll work with him on more specifics.
Okay.
And then what I did, and it's part of the additional information, was to put together financing potential for the building. And so that is item 4.3 on that additional piece of information. And I think it's the fourth page, public safety building renovation financing. So, yes.
Somebody from the public has their hand up. And maybe let's just see if there's just hopefully very brief, any comment made will be brief on the parts that we just covered.
Okay.
You want to let this member of the public?
Yeah.
Very, very brief.
Sure. And I allowed you to talk, Lynn.
Thank you. I wanted to make sure I'd heard this correctly. Don, did you say that the services district board presidents have not talked to the fire board about the public safety building in 4 to 5 years?
No, not quite that badly, but it's certainly since... He's not talked to us all this year, and it was in sort of at the end of the year. And then with Rochelle, she wouldn't talk to us for 2 years. Literally would not. If you call her up, she wouldn't talk to you. So that's reality.
So Chris Deppe all this year and Rochelle for 2 years.
Yep.
Thank you.
I mean, it's all done. We just have to just structure it so that we can't let them slip away. We just have to decide. We have a building that's not safe, and we aren't doing a very good job of fixing it.
I understand. So it's a seismic issue. And so given the seismic aspects of the work that needs to be done, is there any chance that FEMA funds could be obtained?
There's almost no money for capital things from FEMA. They had something after the big economic blow up 10 years ago or so. And I think they had something like, tens of thousands of people applying for a couple million dollars. Maybe it was $100 million or something, but it was insignificant.
Okay.
And it's only gotten worse.
Thank you. So
the grants, I think the grants are not, and I've talked to every chief, can we get some money? And they say, no, we can get fire station engines or equipment, but no capital sort of things.
Okay. Thanks for your comment, Lynn. So yeah, yep. I'm looking at, we don't have a hard stop at 2 hours, but that's a nice kind of like window for these meetings. So we have 35 minutes left, and there's some good information here in the financing plan, and then we have to do the office space issue. So Mary, why don't you move ahead with your handout on the financing?
Okay. So on the handout with the financing, I put together what is the current total estimated renovation cost for construction of $4.579 million, with additional soft costs estimated by the engineer at 25%. I included that, but I took out $500,000, which is included in this year's budget. Because it would be paid out of this budget. So I'm talking right now about what would be paid in future fiscal years. Mm-hmm. So that comes up to the $5.2 million. So then just listing a couple of options for reserves at 100% or reserves combined with some form of construction loan. The CSDA has a financing program in the event the district wanted to borrow a million or two. We have all of the funds that we, we'll go through in a minute, but.
Where did you say the money would be available?
So CSDA has a financing corporation, and they will actually allow special districts to borrow through that program. So you don't have to necessarily go out.
Janice called, and the amount you could get was really stingy. But, if it was a fill-in thing for us, that would be fine. Yeah,
and that would just be a call as to whether we wanted to use reserves or whether we wanted to, have a little bit of a cushion. So that's definitely a board discussion and decision, but it's an option. So for available funding, I started with the capital outlay for the building. And what this is a combination of the building set aside that we have in the capital table. And then from this year, I estimate we have about $200,000 savings that could be included in this. So I've added it to come to $3.5 million. And then I listed out excess operating reserves. So the district's operating reserves at fiscal year 2021 are estimated at $5,073,000. If we take out the fire services contract reserve, I just kept it round at $3.5 million. That leaves $1.573 million in excess operating reserves over and above the contract.
This will be, once we get going, it's going to be long enough, maybe let's say three years that you'll have some revenue that's going to come in as you go along.
Right. And so we'll just have to make sure that we have funds available when we let contracts out. But yes, so if we have more time, then we can amass a few more funds available for this. So, I list a gap here of $63,000, which can easily be weathered within the budget. And since I'm going to be increasing the property taxes by the 2%, this would be covered.
I'm sorry to interrupt
you. No, go ahead.
One thing that I don't think we've talked about openly since you've come on board is that when Don and I, a year ago, May, were negotiating the fire services contract with the El Cerrito city manager, Don did his best to see if they could let go of that $3.5 million set aside. And at that time, they were, not willing to do it sort of without a solid reason. But they said that if we got to the point where we actually had a solid plan for renovating the public safety building and some facts and figures, such as what you're kind of coming into right now, that would be the time to go back to them and have that conversation.
Good information, then that would be available, potentially.
We should be poor when we walk in to see them and see if they wouldn't be let up.
So as far as funding, we show essentially we have it available between the capital building funds and operating reserves, and that's even at fiscal year 2021. If we have costs that extend over a couple of years, we continue to operate below our revenues each year so far, so we'd be building those funds back up. And then I went to estimating, and this is based on the most recent option B estimate, so I'm not sure how things would change if the space changes a little bit, but for illustrative purposes, the portion prorated for space occupied by KPPCSD, including shared spaces, would be a construction cost of $833,000, and then the soft cost estimate of $25,000 would bring their total estimated prorated construction cost to $1,041,000. And so in looking at how they could fund that, a lump sum is a possibility, but from the perspective of conversations I've had with Bill Lindsay, they don't have available that level of reserves to part with. And we've talked about a loan from the KFPD, which we could do since we do have funds to pay for the entire renovation. Then if you look at a loan, we'd be looking at some payback period that could be amortized, and we could decide number of years. I picked 20 and 30 years. It could be a separate payment. It could be incorporated into a monthly lease payment. And I just showed what the payback would be over 20 years and 30 years, monthly and annual, for purposes of what that would mean for repayment.
So this is off the cuff, but Nina, who's on the board, is gone now. But we talked about, between ourselves and some other folks, about making a grant. If there was something that would take the bite off, if the payments are so high they're having trouble, that we could do that. There's some question that public. You can't give away public funds, but I think attorneys have said that it's something like that you can do, especially since we're interacting and it's life safety.
Yeah, it benefits our mission. Sure. So we have pretty broad discretion there.
Yeah,
and it would be still space owned essentially by the fire protection district. So
Yeah,
so that's another option then.
So I wouldn't pass the thing around that we're going to give them some money, but I think if worse came to worse, we certainly could look at that.
Okay.
And I don't know if we have three votes or not.
It does seem like just from a maybe common sense standpoint, I don't have a lot of experience in this area, but we sort of talk about the value of these renovations maybe taking us for about 20 years. It doesn't seem like we'd want to have a loan period longer than we think the building's going to last, but I don't
know. I kind of use that for purposes of when, say, for instance, you issue certificates of participation, which are debt for public agencies to issue, say, for instance, if they construct a building. So often you can select for a term of 20 or 30 years. So that's why I listed it. And often when we amortize fixed assets, something like a building, we would typically use 30 years, but we can certainly stick with 20 years.
Yeah. So, you know, you can see that we really don't have enough trouble, you know, enough room in the building, and now it could get worse. And so what will happen is we'll do this renovation and things will be look pretty good and shiny. I see from my standpoint, given where we are, that this is something in between until we can build a big new building. So I would think then it'll be your job to figure out how we can get a park, a building in the park. But I think you may look at a shorter life, especially, you know, if the complaints, the difficulty comes along, it might come a little sooner than waiting until it's ready to fall down.
Okay. Yeah, we can pick shorter times, most definitely.
Yeah.
15 to 20, maybe. Okay.
The other thing, Mary, just while we're looking at the financing picture, there's also the cost of the temporary relocation. And, you know, I thought we authorized Mallory and Mac 5 last fall to start working on a design and a cost estimate for that for us.
Yeah, Mallory is showing no interest.
Yeah, and I mean, it's going to be, I don't think they're thinking about it either, but I mean, that's kind of up to them to be thinking about it. But when we said about this, you know, we set about doing an analysis of the entire picture. Mm-hmm. And because we have not formally voted to renovate yet.
Right.
We're trying to get the big, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, we formally voted last July, and people need to remember this, that our board majority voted to abandon building in the park last July 8th, 2019.
Is that when it was?
Yes.
Okay.
Etched in my mind, Don. It was you and Larry and me. Kevin and Janice were not at the meeting, and the three of us voted to abandon any further analysis of building in the park.
I thought that was more like April, but maybe that's when I first started thinking about it.
Yeah.
And it just took us a while to get around. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we decided that's it. That option's off the table. But we did still want to proceed with analysis of the full cost of renovating, and we as fire board need to look at the cost of moving up to the Unitarian Church. I think you know that they've told us we could be there, right?
Yeah.
Mac 5 did an estimate.
Yeah, I thought I recall.
It was about last September or something like that. And it just seemed so high. I thought we would just wait and see that if we could get a little more detail on it.
Okay.
And so, you could throw that in if you wanted a number, but it was more than $1 million, I think. Do you remember?
Oh, I thought it was more like 250.
That's what I thought.
Okay. Did you find it? Did you find it?
I think I've seen something. I don't know exactly where it was, but I thought it was 200,000. So don't tell me it's a million.
Well, I can't remember. Let's just say I can't remember. I don't think I would have been shocked so much if it was a quarter million. So I'm
okay.
So we'll see. We can find out. Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
I think that Mallory is just not bothering about it because we don't need it tomorrow, but at some point we'll have to keep going on it.
Yeah.
I think that once we really start thinking about once we know about the elevator or not, and then we think about a public meeting for this.
Then we're done with this phase that we're going through, and we just get around, just build it.
Right.
Well, because the other thing is, I mean, it might be less for the police to move out, maybe less than it'll cost us, but it's still going to be substantive. And I don't know if they have the money. Like, are we going to have to loan them the money for that too? Or like, you know, I don't know if Bill Lindsay's thinking about.
He is. He's been thinking about it, and he didn't ask me for anything. So I haven't heard anything related to that, but he has been looking at that.
Okay. All right. Don, did you have anything? anything else to add? So Mary, are you going to put this, is this going to all be moved into our board meeting packet?
Yeah. The board? So that the board has information. I'll try to get all the other costs incorporated into that.
Because we don't really have a decision necessarily, I think.
No, but they need the information.
Spirit of keeping everybody informed. Yeah.
I kind of try to keep it at each meeting so that, you know, it keeps everybody on with what task we're at, and so that it's easier to remember what the dollars are, because it's hard when you've seen them 6 months ago to recall what they are. So,
yeah. Well,
why don't you just put that estimate into your works and we've adjusted.
Yeah,
when we have more detail.
I do have a suggestion for you, though, in the presentation of the renovation cost.
Sure.
You might want to put an as of date.
Okay.
The date that that estimate was effective, because I think people who are good at projecting in cost increases and stuff, this will at least conceptualize. Okay. This is the figure at whatever it was as of last fall or.
Yeah, actually, he actually updated it just less than a month ago.
Yeah.
When they were going to talk to
him. Mary, you might call them and ask what the escalation costs are now with this goofy world. You know, it was running a pretty standard 10% a year.
Yeah.
So I don't know where it is now.
Okay.
And they'll have an idea. They may be guessing, but they'll have some idea.
Okay. I'll make sure that's included.
Okay.
Okay. So I think it's really good that you're going to put this in front of the board, because honestly, I think that people need time to process this over time, as opposed to saving it all at once and telling them everything in one meeting and expecting them to make a decision. So I think people need to be able to process this.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay, should we just see, do we have any questions or comments from the public on this? We have one more agenda item that's important for us to talk about, but I think we can see if you have any questions or comments.
I don't see any.
Okay. All right, so am I correct that we just have one more item?
The lease, yes. Just the office space lease.
Okay. Go for it.
So with the office space lease, this is just for discussion, and then I can take this to the board in September. With the transition of staff last year, we talked about how the file cabinets got moved downstairs into a conference room in the public safety building that's also shared with the police protection district and not really ideal for working environment. Luckily, we've been able to work remotely. We're going to be working at getting a lot of those records electronically so that we don't have to worry about paper storage. But as we proceed toward the renovation, the space as we have it designed in conceptual terms doesn't really accommodate for administrative staff. I got authorization to hire the administrative and finance support. And then in looking at the building in general, it's not really an ideal space anyway to house administrative staff because of the kind of the location and, you know, being able to allow safety staff to get in and out with their engines and all of their equipment. So it's actually a better idea to try to house administrative staff off-site. There's been a number of spaces looked at over time for office space leases, and some, you know, have, there's pros and cons with respect to the church space. They don't really rent space, and I don't believe that they're, you know, they might allow it for a limited number of hours, but not anything regular. With the lease space, we potentially need it regularly, but it could be shared because of the fact that all positions are part-time. There's a space adjacent to the Ace Hardware, but it looks like it's rented. Then 289 Arlington Ave, I believe this is the one I actually looked at. And there's some issue with potentially removing a partition that we're not really getting a response on. A restaurant that's been closed, but there hasn't been really any effort over the past to, you know, get someone in there.
Decades. Yeah.
Shoemaker at the Circle, 300 square feet, and that's pretty small. Given the fact that, you know, one of the options on lease space is there, I know there's been comments that the renovated public safety building kind of eliminates conference room space, and having a leased space would, maybe not ideally, but at least down the street or where have you, where it would be, offer additional conference room space that could be used by fire staff. So 396 Colusa just came available. It's 1150 square feet. It's pretty comparable to 289 Arlington. I was able to look at the exterior and then also to find pictures of the interior, and it actually looks like a better space to me, but I'm pretty flexible, than Arlington Avenue. That space, I can't recall exactly the amount, but we'd probably be looking at $30,000 to $35,000 annually as far as a lease cost. And so I had this actually on the last board meeting, so I would like to take it to the next board meeting to discuss for purposes of incorporating into the budget and negotiating a lease.
Yeah. So I think it's a little better space because it's a couple feet wider, and we get over some of these trouble we were having getting a decent sized conference room.
Mm-hmm. Are you it's an 396, Don. You're talking about the one on Colusa.
Yes.
One on Colusa is 19 feet wide rather than 17, and that was kind of the backbreaker with the one where the wall sticks in. The neighbor, let's see, it's one building divided in half, except that we don't get all the half. it's pushed in about eight, nine feet. So we only had a conference room that would be 8 or 9, 10 feet wide, and that doesn't work. So that's better. Accessible bathroom, so we don't have to do about that. It's pleasant. It's a nice little neighborhood. There's a pizza place right next door. And so they came in asking 250 a square foot, and the other had started out with 325, and they quickly came down. But it's a little smaller than the other one by 100 square feet, and I think we could get it built quicker because there was going to be some work in the other one.
Yeah, it definitely looks a little bit more updated than the last space.
I would guess when you take the partitions down, you'd have to do some painting and things, but I think it needs better lighting, but it's a pretty good space.
Yeah.
So this is the former optometrist's office.
Yes.
So he probably had an ADA compliant bathroom and everything like that.
Yeah. I was trying to measure things, and I couldn't get the light on or something. So I haven't looked at it, but it's accessible. Yeah. I'll go back up there and take another look. So I think what I might do, there's no rush, I guess, but I'll make a list of things I think we would want them to do.
Okay.
And then if you wanted to start talking to them, you could.
Yeah.
I think getting their interest and I think you'll have an easy time. I don't know them, but I think they'll be eager.
Yeah, and if you want to shoot me that contact information, because for some reason that email didn't seem
to... Yeah, I'll do that, and he seems like a decent guy.
I can go next week and take a look at it if they can arrange it with me.
Yeah, we'll go together and parking is about the same,
So, I mean, for the fire district, even if the absolute worst thing happened, which meant that we had to go with option A, which is fire only, we would still need this office space for like now.
Right.
we have a general manager, right, and we're recruiting for two employees, and we have nowhere.
Right.
Yeah, I think you have to make that I mean, if they're not listening, they'll wonder why you were doing it now, but they'll get mixed up with the remodeling, but it's...
it's just needed in general. So I'll make sure that point comes across, because it definitely, it's not ideal currently.
Well, even if there was some talk about dividing the current conference room in the public safety building, I mean, I don't think that would work for the police department. And I don't think either department, right now, my sense is they don't want anybody who doesn't absolutely have to be there.
Right.
Coming and going.
It should have been that from the very beginning, but that's not what happened.
Yeah, we've been very careful to only go there when required. We know that they would prefer we're not there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know what the KBPCSD, what you're hearing from Bill Lindsay. I don't know if 396 Colusa is large enough to share.
Yeah, and I'm not really sure that it is. We've been talking about the potential for sharing, but I haven't gotten a good measurement of space from him as to how much space they need. So I don't have a definitive answer from them yet.
Yeah, I mean, I did a plan for it, right? Did I do a plan? I did
a sketch for both.
Yeah, I did. Uh-huh. It's crowded, and yeah. I think. The conference room, we ought to get the right size so we can all fit in there. You know, the five of us could be there and management, and guests. And so that is a little, that's the one we have now, that barely works.
Mm-hmm.
Although we have big, clumsy, awful chairs and things that make it a little more difficult to use.
Yeah.
Well, they, two of their board members said at a recent public meeting that they've set aside $80,000 approximately in a capital account for possible renovations of a building in the park.
Oh, okay.
To put all of their staff who are not police. And the way it was stated was that that's part of their plan.
Okay.
So I don't know, maybe Bill, I haven't heard that board talk about that in public, but maybe Bill Lindsay knows more about that. But if there,
I heard someone else say a million.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I don't know where they got these figures. I go to all their meetings and I haven't heard this discussed. But anyway, the use of the word "that's the plan" made it sound like they think that's what they're going to do, but
okay,
maybe he'll let you know.
Yeah, they're looking at options right now, but I just don't know if we would be able to share any space. So, but like I said, we need that space regardless.
Well, I even wondered, is a conference room for, I think, 7 to 8 people, is that large enough?
That space?
Well, I mean, it says that we were looking at 3 workstations, a copier and a workspace, a conference meeting room for 7 or 8. I almost think that we could use a bigger one than that, but...
Yeah.
A bigger conference room.
Well, like if we were going to have our finance committee meetings there, for example, back in the real, when life is back to normal, we usually get maybe 3 or 4 members of the public come. Yeah.
There's enough slop where he could make it. We can make it bigger, so that's not an issue.
Okay.
And I don't know, but I can see cutting into the conference room. That's sort of not what we want to do to make room for the other agency, especially if everything got squeezed down.
Okay.
And this is a little bit shorter, a little bit less, not a huge amount, but it's one workstation. How about that?
Yeah.
All right. Don, is there anything that you think needs to be added to this presentation to move it forward to the board packet?
Well, I think that having made a list of all these places that keep coming up again and again, I mean, Kevin's brought up the church I don't know how many times. And so we can back it up and say this is the best place we can find, and it's about the only decent place. And I don't know if you know, where they'll know what they'll negotiate in terms of the price. You might be surprised, and because I think what's happening is retail's dead, you know, and so there's just all this some space.
Okay.
And we're a solid, you know, I can see moving in and being there in 20 years.
Yeah.
Well, I think this really helps the presentation a lot, that you have these comparables, other options that you've looked at.
That was your idea, by the way.
Yes.
So, I think we, all right, let's just see if there are any public comment, questions or comments on this item.
I don't see any yet.
No. Looks like we did it in less than 2 hours.
Hey. All right.
Anything else from you, Don?
No, I don't think so. I think I feel like we're getting a little momentum going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been pretty depressed at times at the disappointment of getting anything done.
I like that the public safety building plans are becoming more specific.
Yeah.
So
you'll continue to see that.
Yeah.
Now that we have more information on what the county's feedback is going to be, it's very helpful.
All righty. Okay. Well, then it's 3:25, and if everyone agrees, our meeting is adjourned.
I agree. Good. Thank you very much.
Everybody, thanks to those of you who attended.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.